Brother Ben and I were with the Saints in Calgary. It was last weekend, right? Last weekend. Wow, time really flies. And we sang this hymn, and the young people thought that we were singing this hymn because of verse 5, who extinguishes their taper till they hail the rising sun, who discards the garb of winter. Because that day when we sang this hymn, this was just last weekend, it snowed in Calgary. It was snowing in Calgary in April. And it was like, you know, it was like already, you know, it should have been close to springtime or close to the summer. But then I told the young people, no, it's verse one. It's verse one that actually I have the feeling about. Anyway, praise the Lord. Young people, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see you all again, face to face. Good to see you all again. I have to be really honest with you. I really, really enjoyed the first two messages that was shared with you all. I hope you all feel the same. As our brother David started out this whole weekend, Friday night, our gathering this spring gathering is really historic for a couple of reasons. Number one, well, we haven't done it before. And number two, this topic that we're covering, God, being a friend of God. I can't recall being in a conference with a subject, being a friend of God, being a friend of God. And I agree with Brother Ben in the second message. Usually we think, friend, okay, yeah, the Lord considered his disciples friends. I felt the same way. But then when he called his disciples brothers, like, whoa, that's, you know, like Noah and Matthew, brothers. It's like more than just friends. It's like, can you guys hug each other or something like that? Brothers, you see that, brothers. Brothers is just like so much more feeling than friends. But then you know what? I started to get into this message and I was like, wow, being a friend of God is also really, really important and really, really special. Really, really special. We think of friends as, okay, just like the hymn we just sang, hymn 5, somebody to tell our problems to, somebody who understands us, somebody, you know, who knows exactly what we're going through. Oh, isn't Mr. Clark such a nasty teacher? I mean, you know, this guy, which is true, the Lord does. He does understand, and he does want to know your feelings like this, you know, day to day. He really does want to be a friend in this way. But then, you know, I got into this a little bit. Just in this example, Abraham was a friend to the Lord Jesus much, much, much more than he was able to kind of just tell him, you know, how he felt, and he felt bad, and, oh, you know, my brother Lot is stuck in this, not so bad. No, his friendship with the Lord, get this, with Jehovah, allowed God to move on the earth. Whoa. That's why God needs you as a friend. Don't tell me, I'm just a little sixth grader. There's not much. No. Do you know in the book of Numbers, what age was useful to the Lord? Starting from what age? Five years old from the book of Numbers were useful. That means if some of you, anybody here 5 years old or younger? No, right? That means all of you are needed by the Lord for his testimony. Yeah, even at the age of five, the young ones, they were running around their tabernacle almost as a protection, which means what? Even new ones are useful to the Lord. Then at the age of 20, those were the fighters. 20 to 30 were the fighters. 30 above were those who were prepared for the priesthood to handle the tabernacle, to handle all the offerings, and they had to train. But every age was important. So you all are important to the Lord. I hope by the end of maybe the short speaking tonight, you'll have a feeling being a friend of God is really important. The reason is this. Today, God, as mighty as he is, as omnipotent, that means like really strong, omnipotent, as omnipresent, that means he can be any place, as do everything that he is, he's limited himself. God has limited himself. How? He's limited himself by man, by man. He waits, believe it or not, young people, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but he waits for you and I to open up our mouths to speak to him before he does something. Now, you'll find out in just a minute the secret in speaking to him. The secret is, because there is a secret in speaking to him. But he waits for us to pray before he does something. Is that amazing? Look, the God of the universe waits for us, little old us, me, nobody, us, to pray, to lay tracks for him to do what he wants to do on the earth. This is a genuine fact. Fact, okay? So these ones who pray, they're the genuine co-workers. It seems like a big word, right? You guys are all co-workers of God. That is allowing him to do what he wants to do, what he wants to do, okay? Being a friend of God, critically important for God in his plan or his economy, okay? For that word, for those older among you. Okay. Tonight, two burdens. One is just to share with you how to make a friend. It's going to be really practical. I'm going to tell you how to make a friend. And then number two, how to become a friend of God. Okay, which Brother David actually shared some on Friday night. That's Genesis 18. Okay, how to make a friend. This is going to be really, really practical. How many of you have casual friends. Raise your hand high. If you don't have one, that's okay. You don't have to have a friend. I mean, be nice, but I mean, okay. How many of you have, let's say, one or two really, really good friends? Like somebody you could tell anything you wanted to. Raise your hands high. Well, that's not bad. Well, so you guys do know how to make friends. Even some of you older ones know how to make friends. That's really good. Because sometimes I'll be really honest with you. Sometimes I get a little bit, concerned. I get, a little bit, because if we don't have friends, if we don't have companions, it's a real loss. It's a real loss. I was really, really touched by what Brother Ben said this morning, especially that study that I think it was psychologists that they studied. Young people today are the saddest they've ever been. I'm like, you guys are way too young to be sad. There's just so much to be happy about. I mean, come on. If you look at a tub of ice cream, doesn't that make you happy? There's a lot to be happy about. I don't understand. Why? Well, okay, yeah, now we know why. Satan, screws the enemy of Satan. He really pushed pressure on us. I think one of the things that he most likes to damage in young people is our relationships with other people, our friendships with other people, our relationships with our siblings. Not these two. They just love each other. Yes, not these two. Our relationship with our parents, he likes to put a wedge there. our relationships with those older than us, you know, serving ones, even those younger. This is what he does to damage the relationships that we have. Let me just tell you one small, well, I'll get to this in a minute. It takes a really, really, really long time, and you'll find out exactly how long in just a minute, to build up a really, really deep relationship, a deep friendship. Do you know how long it takes to ruin a relationship? Just like that. You have to click louder, just like. How long does it take? Ready, go. Yeah, just like that. Just like that. One word, boom, and there's a wedge there. And it takes such a long time to kind of fix our relationship. Let me tell you how to make friends. Why is this important? Okay, personal testimony. The Lord touched me at least twice. I can remember really twice. He said, David, who you have as friends is going to affect your usefulness to me and also your going on to the Lord. So I'm like, okay, I need to choose my friends carefully. The very first time I was told to be careful of my friends was when I was going to college. Ezra, where are you? Ezra, oh, raise your hand, Ezra. Oh, there you are. Freshman year, before I went to college, the brothers told me, you better pray for a proper friend, a proper roommate. At that time, it was a roommate because I knew I was going to be staying in a double. They impressed upon me, so I did. I started the summer before I left for my freshman year in college. Prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Lord, 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 I need the right friend. I need the right friend. I need the right friend. Okay, let me just move a little faster. Lo and behold, yeah, I got a roommate, you know, kind of short little Asian fella. It's fair. I don't know, it's kind of weird how the Lord would, anyways, it's just ordained by the Lord. So, yeah, and so we spent time, and eventually, long story short, yeah, I preached the gospel to him, and he got saved. Yeah. My roommate got saved. Ezra, you need to come back and make this testimony. I'm looking at you, brother. Start praying now, okay? Next spring or next summer, I want you to give the testimony. I started praying for my friend, and he got saved, Lord willing. Okay? Serious. Really, really important who your friendships are. Then the second time, I came back from the full-time training in Taiwan. The brother sent me back to go to school. And so the class that I was originally with, they're already gone. So it was a brand new class. And the Lord touched me the same thing. You better pick your friends carefully, okay? You don't want every single person in this class as your friend, okay? I said, all right, Lord, then you pick my friend for me. Okay, and he did. So our very first gathering with this new class when I came back, okay, brand new faces. I didn't know any of them. It's like going to a brand new school, a whole new grade. I just sat there for the very first time. I didn't know what it was, like an orientation. I just sat there and looked at everyone. I just looked at everyone. Is it this one, Lord? Is it this one? No, she's a girl. It's not that one. Is it this one? Okay. Eventually, yeah, I got the feeling. The Lord said, Go talk to this one. I didn't know why. And it was an Indian fella. Don't ask me. I just got the feeling. This one. Go speak to him. And you know what? I did. And you know what? He got saved. Amen. And to this day, he's still, I know him. He's a friend. So who you choose as friends? Ezra, that's your number two, okay? Brother, all right? To this day, brothers, who we have as our friends, very, very important to the Lord. Very, very important to the Lord. And to you. And to you. You'll find out before tonight's over, we need to be a friend of God. And you'll see a reason why. A friend of God. Okay, so how you choose your friends, very, very important. Very, very important. Okay, so say the Lord puts someone, you know, within you, a name, a face, someone. And I don't know how the Lord will do it. Maybe he'll do it. If you have faith in him, he'll do it. What are the ingredients to every friendship? Here they are. You can write them down, okay? Ingredient number one to every friendship is there is a degree of vulnerability. That's a big word. Vulnerability in every friendship, which means what? That's another word for honesty. That's point number one. If you're not honest to another person, don't think you can ever develop a meaningful relationship with that person. You know, by the way, you should all be applying this to the Lord Jesus, which we will in just a minute. But I'm just telling you for your friends in class, okay, so your friends that you have, even in the church life. Point number one, you have to be honest with them, which means what? There's a little bit of vulnerability. What does that mean? That means there's a little bit of, ooh, I'm opening myself. I'm telling a person how I feel. I'm telling them things about me. I don't know how it's going to be received. That's the vulnerability that we're talking about, okay? And if the person has been chosen, or the Lord has led you to that person, and it's a proper person, you know what? That person is not going to judge you. So that person probably, we'll come to the second point, is probably going to reciprocate. That means they're going to feel the same. But number one, to any friendship, you have to be honest. You have to be honest. And it's a matter of opening up yourself. It's a matter of opening up, telling a person your strengths, telling a person your weaknesses. I'm really not good at this. And in fact, I'm afraid of this. And this happened to me one time. And that's the start. That's the start of any friendship. If you've never really kind of opened yourself up in that way to someone, well, okay, and you don't have a really, really good friend, okay, so now you know. So now you know. That's something to consider. That's something to consider, okay? Number one, you need to be honest with another person, okay? So there's a degree of vulnerability there. Number two, okay, you need to affirm. That's another big word. So the first word is vulnerability. The second word is affirmation. You need to affirm that this relationship, that this person that you're with or that you're spending some time with is important to you. You either affirm in word or action. Okay? How many of you feel that the relationship with your mom is valuable? Raise your hands. Raise both hands. Very good. Okay. How many of you affirmed recently that this relationship is valuable, either in words or in actions? What words have you used? Oh, you have? Very good. Very good. What words have you used to affirm? Oh, Mom! Dana! Is that affirming? Is that the affirming that we're talking about? No. Mom, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get my breakfast ready or to get my washing my soccer clothes so I can go to somehow, maybe even better in action. Mom, you go read your life study message. Let me do the dishes. in action. You can affirm in action that this relationship is important to you. Okay, that's number two. Number three, in making a friend, there is no replacement for this. Number three is time. T-I-M-E, time. You need to spend time with that person. Don't think that you can be a friend with anyone if you don't spend time with that person. Let me ask you this question, this one question. How much time do you think it takes for one individual to become a casual friend to someone else? How much? Raise your hand, yes.
Is it 11 hours or 11 days? I forgot.
11 hours, or there's a big difference between 11 hours and 11 days. Okay, so it's either 11 hours or 11 days, depending on the person. Anybody else? Any thoughts, any guesses? How long does it take to develop a casual friendship? Huh? Who said 2 weeks? 2 weeks. Yes, very good. 2 weeks is not this. You're right. 2 weeks, okay. Not bad. Any other guesses? How long does it take? Yes, Brother Paul. Huh? If you want to be a friend, go see Brother Paul. He'll be a friend of yours in 3 minutes. That's really, really quick. That's because he's so friendly. Look at his face. You can tell. He's just got the friendly face. It's all around. It's true. In Taiwan, he's very, very friendly. Okay. All right. The answer is this. The psychologists have done research. So the answer is this. It takes about 50 hours. 50. 50 hours. This is just for a casual friendship. A casual friendship. 50 hours. That is, if all you did for 2 whole days, you didn't eat, you didn't sleep, you didn't look at your computer, all you did was just look at somebody in the face and talk with them for 2 whole days, there's a chance that you could become a casual friend with them. What's that?
Or to lose
it, right. Yeah, you have to be careful what you say, right. You have to be careful. That's just a casual friend, 50 hours. A deeper friend, maybe 90 hours. A really, really close friend, do you know how many hours? 200 hours. 200 hours. A really, really close friend would be like, you know, somebody you marry, okay? So don't say wow so easily, okay? 200 hours. That's a long time. That's a long time. How much time do you spend with your friends? The ones that you spend more time with, they're probably your closest friends. Are you getting the picture here? If we're the friend of God, okay, hopefully you're getting the picture. You can't replace time with God. You cannot replace time. Okay, so that's the first half. Oh, I didn't take my watch off to see the time. Okay, so that's the first part of my burden. Okay. The second part of my burden is really, really more important. Okay. That is our relationship with God. So we just talked about our relationship with other human beings, which is really, really important. Okay. If some of you don't have a lot of close friends, okay, now you know the ingredients, so you can kind of look and see. Okay. I'm not saying that each one of you needs to go out and find a friend. Be my friend! Be my friend! Come on, you go to your class. No, they're going to look at you really, really weird, okay? Just go to the Lord. Ask the Lord. Lord, who in this class would you have some feeling about? Just do what I did. Just kind of stare at them for a little while. And then the Lord may kind of, you know, put somebody in your heart. And then you spend some time and you talk and all of a sudden you guys are friends. And then now maybe lifelong, you never know, okay? Now my real burden is this. Real burden is this. Being a friend of God. Being a friend of God. Okay. So Brother David read you already Genesis chapter 18, a marvelous, marvelous chapter in the Bible with Abraham as the example. And he told you already, he's 100% right. In the Bible, 3 times it's mentioned, Abraham was a friend of God. Twice in the Old Testament, 1 in the New Testament. The New Testament was repeating the Old Testament, which is really impressive. God considered Abraham, a human being, as his friend, as his friend. Okay, Genesis chapter 18. Okay, so, as David reminded you, they're there in Mamre, the oaks of Mamre. He's sitting there in front of his tent. It's in the heat of the day. So David says, yeah, maybe noontime. Amen. Okay. He sees these three people walking toward him. What was his response? Gee, that's interesting. It's the middle of the day and there's three people walking in my tent. You know, what's going on? Was that his response? Did you guys? Here, look. Let's see. If you turn to page in your booklet, the verses are here. Hopefully you guys spend a little bit of time and you look at these verses. Okay, look, on page 17, right? Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 22. On page 17, look at verse 2. So Jehovah, okay, verse 1 says, Jehovah appeared to him, that's Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre as he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat. Oh, by the way, young people, don't ask me how this happened. This is before the Lord Jesus even became a man on the earth. How does God come in human form on the earth? Okay, don't ask me how that happens. It happened, okay? It happened. So verse 2, what was Abraham's response? And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and there were three men standing opposite him. Oh, so as Brother Ben mentioned this morning, Lord Jesus, and then two at his side, probably two angels, okay? And then, listen to this. And when he saw them, what do the next two words say? He ran from the entrance of the tent to meet him. Do you run to meet somebody you don't know? Do you run to meet an enemy? Oh, I can't stand it. No, you run, yeah, probably with your fist or something like that, but no. He ran, which means what? He knew it was the Lord Jesus. How did Abraham, no other human being on the earth at that time, I think I'm pretty accurate in saying, had seen Jesus, the Lord Jesus, or even God in human form? But Abraham, not only did he know, he ran to him. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Who would you run to? Who would you run to? Matthew, if you saw Noah coming back from a long, 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 long war or something like this, he's walking down the street. Noah's going, you would run to him, wouldn't you? It's Noah. He's back. I know him. You run to see somebody you know. You run to see your friend. You run to see somebody you really, really, really miss and really, really, really like. Okay, so that's my point. Abraham had spent so much time with Jehovah. So much time with Jehovah. He recognized him right away and ran out to meet him, even in physical form, because he knew him. Hast thou heard him, seen him, known him? So now you see why we sang this hymn. Abraham heard him, saw him, and knew the Lord, knew Jehovah. So, here's my first question to all you young people and you not so young people, okay? What if the Lord would come today? What if the Lord would come today to your tent or your house? You don't live in a tent anymore, right? So to your house, would you know him? Would you know him? Here's my burden. Herein lies my burden. Would you know him? Okay, so, I have to tell you, okay, honestly speaking, this is not going to happen. So we know from the beginning of Acts, Okay, when the Lord comes back. So I mentioned this to you already, right? The Lord had a private ascension and he had a public ascension. The public ascension in the beginning of Acts was the last time the Lord Jesus was physically on the earth. And the Bible also tells us the same way that he went, he's going to come back. So he's going to come back that way. So don't think that, okay, like, you know, tomorrow, you know, the Lord Jesus is going to be sitting next to you in your class, okay? The Bible didn't say it that way. But I'm just bothering you a little bit. Suppose the Lord did. Would you recognize him? There was a very, very famous missionary. Her name was Margaret Emma Barber, M.E. Barber. Some of you know this story. She had a lot of, she was of such help to our brother Watchman Nee. A big, big help to Watchman Nee. She had so many striking things. She was a sister. So many striking things about her character. One was she was very strict. There, at one point, she had like 50 brothers that she was helping. Okay, within a short amount of time, all of them dropped away. They couldn't take how strict she was, except for Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee was the one who didn't. Couldn't take how strict she was. Number two, she knew the definition of what it is to not live for herself, to be dead to herself. In fact, okay, so there's many stories. I don't want to tell you all the stories, but anyway, she was accused and she just of something by her own missionary board, and she wouldn't even defend herself to the extent that she left China because she didn't defend herself. Because she knew the lesson of being dead to the Lord, living to the Lord. Okay. But here's the thing I want to impress you with tonight. There's one testimony from her which I really, really, I just love. She's walking with one of these brothers that she's helping on the street in Shanghai one day, okay? And so before they get to the end of the street, slow up for a minute. And okay, what is she, okay, why all of a sudden? We're walking, we're having a conversation. How come we're stopping? You know what she says to the brother? She says, brother, We may meet the Lord around the corner. We may meet the Lord Jesus around the corner. Wow. There's somebody who's looking, who spent time with the Lord, who loves him so much and lives for his return so much that she conducts herself that maybe the corner, the next corner that she crosses, she's going to meet the Lord Jesus. Wow. Okay, that's somebody that has heard him, seen him, and known him. That's a testimony of someone who has heard him, seen him, and known him. Okay, because she spent the time. She was honest before the Lord. She affirmed the relationship she had with, and she spent the time with the Lord easily. And she lived it. So the question is, young brothers and sisters, again, I come to this, okay? If the Lord would be in this way, what would our response be? Okay, I don't want to make you feel bad or anything like that, but I do want to inspire you. It's never too late. Let's get to know him now. Let's spend some time now. Maybe even tonight, before you get into your bed. Get down on your hands and knees. Lord, I know you're going to come back in the cloud, but I want to know you. Can we do this? I want to know you. And I'd like to start tonight. This is going to be one of my practical points, actually. If you do want to have the heart, this heart to know the Lord and to be his friend, you need to start setting some times to talk with your friend. Okay? One of the best times, I got to say, one of the best times is at night before you go to sleep. Do not set a time. Okay, so if you're serious about being a friend of the Lord, okay, you need to set a vow. You need to make a vow. okay? Not that, you know, you're going to make it to the MBA. Not that, you know, you're going to be like the smartest kid in your class. No, you need to make a vow that I'm going to have some time with my friend. Okay? And so set this time. And then have the Lord keep it. Just give it to the Lord. Lord, you remind me. Day after day, remind me. Set a time. Set a time. I like to do it at night. The last thing I do before I go to bed. Before I go. I can't tell you the number of times. You know, I'm really, really tired. Boom. Okay. I'm in bed. And then all of a sudden, hello? Hello? Oh, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you for reminding me. Oh, Lord, I can end this day with you. Can you set times with the Lord? Doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be long, but start with set times. Make a vow. Set a time and be serious about your time with the Lord. Okay? Don't set a time before soccer practice, please. Okay? Don't set a time before the bus comes. If you want to do it in the morning, that's also an excellent time. The Bible tells us the morning time is so special. First thing you do in the morning when you get up, just a time. Doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be long. A little bit of time. Okay, a little bit of time to spend with the Lord. Okay, now, here's the other thing. Maybe, okay, the time is going. Let me just speed up a little bit. What do you do in these times? I'm still going to tell you the secret, right? The secret in our praying to the Lord. Okay. What do you do in these times? I'm afraid, you know, I'm not going to do this because, you know, I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to call you out. I'm not going to expose you because I'm the same way. But if I checked, or if the Lord checked, or somebody checked with you and your private, your quote-unquote private time, oh, praise the Lord, summer school, true, we have private times with the Lord, hallelujah. What do you do in your private time with the Lord? Holy, 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 Lord, thou art holy, I come to you. Do you come to the Lord in this kind of way? So formal, so formal. Is that how you spend time with the Lord? Show of hands, show of hands. How many of you have ever said, good morning, Lord Jesus? If you haven't, don't raise your hands. Okay, you don't have to. I'm just curious. Really? Oh, impressive. Okay. If you haven't, that's okay. There's always tomorrow morning. There's always tomorrow morning. You wake up, good morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. New day. Have you ever had conversations like this with the Lord Jesus? This is what prayer is. This is what absorbing the Lord is, spending time with him. This is what frogs do. I was just kidding, Brother Ben. Has any of you written a new hymn yet? Not I am a tree. No, I am a frog. Just absorbing all that God is. I mean, that would be interesting, right? Okay, anyways. But yeah. Absorbing God. Here's another thing. In your private times with the Lord, that you have with the Lord, how do you know when those times are over? How do you know when those times are done, when you're with the Lord? Is it because you've gotten to the bottom of your list? Blah, blah, A, B, C, D, 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 H, G, that's it. I'm at G, I'm done. See you, Lord. Let me read you a verse. Sorry, it didn't get included in your it's in Genesis chapter 18. It didn't get included in your list of verses. But I want to read you Genesis chapter 18, verse 33. Verse 33. It's the last verse in Genesis chapter 18. It's the last verse in Genesis chapter 18. If you have it, you can turn to it and look at it. Genesis chapter 18, verses 33. Listen to this. And Jehovah went away as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. When does your personal time end with the Lord? When he's finished speaking with you. Yes, that's how Abraham was. And that's why Abraham was a friend of God. How many of you are leaving and the Lord is still talking to you? I'm done, Lord. The bus is coming. No, our times are over when the Lord is finished. When the Lord is finished. It's very clear. It's very clear. You want to be a friend of the Lord? Yes. So a lot of these kind of practical points. Okay. Let me get to a point of truth so you have something solid that you can at least remember. So these are practical points. So these are handles. Okay. Sorry, this was my burden, so I had to kind of I couldn't hold it back. So I just kind of set definite times with the Lord. Have definite times with the Lord. Some of you already have it, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Continue them and have the Lord remind you of all these times. It's wonderful. The more times you have with the Lord, the more you're going to know Him, the more you're going to love Him, the more you're going to walk to the next class. Hey, I wonder if the Lord Jesus is in the classroom. Wouldn't it be marvelous? You're walking around with your classmate. Wait. Do you know who could be in that classroom? The Lord Jesus. Wow. You'd have to say that to a real friend, right? You wouldn't be able to say that. You wouldn't be able to say that to, like, you know, somebody because they turn you into the school counselor or something like that. But anyways. But wouldn't it be marvelous to live in that kind of, to live in that kind of way? Okay. At the very end, let me just give you something to sink your teeth into so you can write down some notes, okay? That is this. What is real prayer? So I gave you some examples, okay? I gave you some examples of our time with the Lord, right? Simple, practical things to do with the Lord. What is real prayer? Turn to page 4 in your outline. The very last sentence on page 4, point A, okay? If you have a red marker, underline this. If you have a blue marker, underline this. Whatever color you marker have, it's on message 1. It's the message that Brother David shared with you, okay? This is really, really, really good. Okay, listen to this. Ready? Real prayer is our coming to God. Okay, so that's just, you know, I spent the last 45 minutes sharing on this. Coming to God. Letting God speak within us. Really, really, really important component. Letting God speak. Don't hog all the time. Let God speak. And then listen to this third point. Expressing to God what He has spoken back to Him. That's what prayer is. Repeating God's words that He spoke to you. Did you know prayer is just that simple? You don't have to make up all these big fancy big word prayers. You just repeat back to the Lord Jesus what He speaks inside you. That's real prayer. That's real prayer. That's it. You spend time with the Lord. You sense His feeling within. You speak back to the Lord. His words. That's all. Real prayer. You ever wonder why sometimes certain prayers don't get answered? You ever wonder why? Because they're your words. Here's the secret. If you pray back to the Lord, His words, those are prayers that He's going to answer. Because they're His words. Those are prayers that He's going to answer. So you just speak back the same words that He spoke to you. Okay? That He spoke to you. Amen. Oh, wow. Where did all the time go? Okay, sorry. I didn't even get to all the examples in Genesis 18 about Isaac and then but Brother David covered them, so amen. So that's really, really good. And about the negotiating, about God's heart. But I think I already made the point. If we don't spend time with the Lord in this way, Jehovah has no way to operate. And what God wanted to do was He wanted to save Lot, right? And so He needed Abraham to intercede and spend time with Him. Why did God want to save Lot? It's because the Lord Jesus came from the descendant of Lot. So He needed to save Lot. He needed to. Okay. But He had to wait till somebody on the earth, like I was telling you, somebody had the earth mentioning it to Him, interceding for Lot. That was Abraham. Okay, anyways. That's enough. You guys can cover more in your small groups, the specifics. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's all make a vow to spend time, quality time with the Lord.
Amen.
Starting from whenever. Starting from whenever. Amen. Let's just keep doing it, okay? Praise the Lord, young people. Very, very good seeing you. Are we small groups now? Oh, okay, go ahead. Start.